Overnight, the death toll from Monday's earthquake and the aftershocks climbed to more than 11,000 lives in Turkey and Syria.
We can say that many people also have been pulled from the rubble of thousands of collapsed buildings, thousands of people injured but alive. Search and rescue teams work in freezing temperatures, but how much time is left?
NPR's Rob Schmitz is in Istanbul to talk about this. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Layla.
So can you give us a big picture of the recovery efforts? What are rescue workers facing right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge right now is time. Yeah. It's been around 60 hours since the initial earthquake. Weather conditions have worsened with both temperatures dipping below freezing and now snow. And rescuers are working more than 2 days straight, many without sleep, doing whatever they can to reach survivors who are trapped under tons of rubble. You know, aid groups say the first 72 hours after a natural disaster like this are the most crucial to rescue survivors. So it's a really harrowing and desperate situation. Yesterday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan declared a state of emergency for 10 Turkish provinces. He addressed the nation. Here's what he said.
Allah'tan rahmet, yakınlarına ve milletimize.
He's saying here that he prays to God for mercy for the citizens who've lost their lives, that he's declaring a national mourning period for the next week, and he promised his citizens that his government is making all the measures it can to rescue those who've survived.
I mean, the scale of this is hard to wrap your head around. Turkey says more than 13.5 million people affected by the quake, and that doesn't include the millions more in Syria. That's a huge number of people. Where are the displaced going?
Yeah, and you mentioned that there are millions more in northern Syria, and that's a region that's already been devastated by a civil war, a refugee crisis, and where most rescue teams can't even access. Turkey's Emergency Management Agency says nearly 400,000 people have taken refuge in government shelters or hotels. Others are living in stadiums, mosques. At least 6,000 buildings in Turkey collapsed. And even for those whose homes are still standing, they don't want to go back because there have been hundreds of aftershocks, some of them big enough to topple more buildings. Mm. There are many people sleeping in cars, even trains. But across the border in Syria, the situation is in some ways even worse.
Yeah, I mean, this is a place where millions of people are already displaced and receiving humanitarian aid because of the ongoing civil war in Syria, a place where infrastructure was already damaged by bombings. And now this. I mean, do they have any of what they need to deal with this natural disaster?
Yeah, for how dire it is here in Turkey, it's worse in Syria. And that's because northern Syria, near the cities of Aleppo and Idlib, you know, that were hit hard by this quake, were already under the stress of war and refugees. And because of that, there simply isn't the infrastructure there to provide emergency care, electricity, food, water. You know, they're left with nothing. You know, people are sleeping in mosques and they don't have fuel, they don't have water, they're lacking essentials to simply survive. And the only road that the UN authorizes to carry supplies from Turkey to Syria has been damaged by this quake. Syria's government has blamed Western sanctions for hampering relief efforts. The U.S. has pushed back, saying that sanctions do not include humanitarian assistance. Other countries are trying to help, but you know these are opposition-held areas, and so the government is sort of hampered in how it can help too. So it's really a difficult situation for everyone right now.
NPR's Rob Schmitz in Istanbul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's go now to NPR's Ruth Sherlock, who's in the southern Turkish city of Antakya.
Driving into Antakya now, we're just passing building after building that has flattened. One of the city's hospitals is literally on its side. The building's tilted, broken, rubble all around it, windows smashed. There are civilians digging through the rubble. There's just simply too many flattened buildings for emergency services to get to. So it's the civilians that are left to dig for their loved ones. Hamide Mansuroglu is in front of a half-collapsed building. She says her son, 42-year-old Sadat, is trapped inside. When she couldn't reach him on the phone the morning of the earthquake, she and her other son, Ayhan, ran over to his home there.
They found him.
Who found him?
They found him.
You found him? God, how did she find him?
His brother dug with his hands to find him.
She says they found him trapped on what was the fourth floor of the building that has pancaked in on itself, and he's still alive. I'm with Erin O'Brien, a freelance journalist here for The Economist, who helps me translate.
yesterday morning, she said, could you move your foot if you can hear me?
And he moved it? Well, rescuers and volunteers tried to get him out, but didn't have the right equipment. Now, more than 36 hours later, men have come with an excavator to try to free him. Chunks of concrete are being bashed away near where Sadat is, and his mother is clearly terrified, but all she can do is watch. Every time the bulldozer gets close to where her son is, she winces in pain, watching and like begging them to go gently, go carefully. But the reality is that to try to reach him, they have to remove this thick layer of concrete. But in doing that, they might well crush him. What are you doing? She shouts, hands to her head. Stop digging, they're going to go and climb into the space where they think he might be. It's incredibly dangerous because the whole building could collapse even on top of the rescue workers. They're telling everybody to be silent. Try to hear for signs of life at this point. They might have found him. But if that's the case, it's not good news. They've turned away and they're walking back. Look like they're going to talk to the mother now. The mother's fallen to her knees, weeping, sobbing. But here comes the body in a wrapped in a blanket, carrying him in a blanket towards his mum and his family. They gather around him and we give them the privacy to mourn. We decide to move further into the city. We're close to the centre now. The road is blocked. Cars turn back, so we're going to walk. Some people are walking out of the city with possessions in plastic bags. Others just walking down the middle of the road in tears, lost. This earthquake happened in the dead of night here. Most people were in their beds sleeping. We can only begin to imagine how many people are under the rubble. So much dust and debris. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 bodies lying on the street in front of a building. Nobody is around, just left on the side here.
Ölmüş sahipleri yok. Suriyeli onlar.
Suriyeli onlar.
Suriyeli.
A rescue worker nearby says he thinks the dead are a Syrian family. This city is close to the border with Syria, where there's a war, so there are thousands of refugees here. He says this part of the city is so destroyed that few are likely to survive. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Antakya.